Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 287. We double-checked before we went on, so we're right.
Well, we're early. We're early this year, this month, this time. With
you
the
mean
magazine.
The magazine getting out early?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's supposed to be. In the real world of publications, they do this often.
We're going to do this again next time?
Yes, that's the goal. We always have wanted to get 1 month's issue out at the end of the preceding month. Sometimes the reality is we wait on articles, we wait on advertising, and all that has to come to play. And since our staff is us and our volunteer writers, then the reality is sometimes it doesn't get to the printers as soon as we would like. But we worked our tails off this time to make that happen.
And yeah, we were up against the wire waiting on some articles to come in, and
they didn't,
and we published.
Well, what happened is we filled those spots.
Yeah.
The fairies did not write anything for us. We did.
The fairies didn't come.
And that's okay. That's our job. When those holes are empty, it is our duty to fill them. We did, and we have already delivered a bunch of magazines. We have the Southern route to go out. We have the Eastern route to go out. We'll do that in the next 2 days, and we'll be done for this month. This month being August by then.
But do we know how many holes it takes to fill the Albert Hall?
No.
10,000.
Oh, that's right. Silly me.
Yeah, well, that was another story altogether.
Mm-hmm. And but not ours.
Not ours. It was a big old story.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we had... We've been having some discussion of late about readership in the magazine, and Jan and I have decided that what we're going to do, at least for a test run here, is read the magazine to you.
Well, you can relax, folks. It's not the whole entire issue, though it is all read-worthy. I will say that. We've read it all. We've proofed it all. Doesn't mean our eyes caught every mistake, but it's been nice. The last, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, you and I have made a point of sitting down and reading every article.
Every word.
Every word, and it's really good to do that for lots of reasons. It makes sense that we know in our own publication. And on the podcast, I've accused you before when I say, what do you think about that, Don? You'd look at me with this blank stare. Now, oh, you didn't read that article, did you?
Well, you can't do that now.
No, so it's been good to do that.
Do I have them committed to memory? No, I don't.
I don't think you have to do that, because you could always have a copy in your hand or online, because all of our magazines are up on our website at owlcreekgazette.com.
At least for a year.
That's true. In fact, we've got a few extras there that I need to get those removed and moved over to our members-only website.
We can do that. And you can be a member if you'd like to be. It's only $2.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's less than a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. For the whole month.
For the whole month, right. And you can have access to all the back issues. If you're a corporate giant and you want to get access to all of our back issues, it's $2.99 a month, sucker.
And like I'm saying, I haven't gotten them all there. A huge chunk of them are there. But I need to do some more updates on that. But the members-only website gets our weekly Midweek at the Creek podcast. And, and they get each week we publish freebies and more, spotlight on, photo of the week. And we try to get our own little blurbs up. Sometimes I think you posted the last one, my bad, that you hadn't been able to get that done.
I'm going to do one tonight so that Monday will be fresh and bright.
But there's always good content on there. And and plus, as a member, you get 10% off when you come to any of our events, which is nice, too. Like the autumn dinner that will be coming up for $20 a ticket, you get to come for $18 a ticket.
You know, and I feel terrible that I didn't get to go out to the American Farm Heritage Museum this weekend. It was the Heritage Days event, and better luck next year is all I can say.
The reality is that we were doing our work.
Yeah, we're working our tails off.
And sometimes, you know, that's a wonderful part about the magazine. It takes us places and to events we wouldn't get to go otherwise. Sometimes it keeps us from that. But when the magazine has to be delivered, it has to be delivered. And we also have other things we've got coming up where we're going to be out of town. So everything had to be compiled into, a five-day effort, the deadline of going to press, the actual going to press, the deliveries. And that's our responsibility.
That's the nature of the beast.
But speaking of the fact that you said we were going to read the magazine, and like I said, never fear, we're not going to. Although, you know, someone has said to us, Don, I just remembered this, we should put this on
the audio. Is that on audio tape?
That's right. It was a suggestion because people said, you know, they're going out in their car, they want to hear the magazine. They obviously can't read and drive, though people text and drive, which is reading. But, you know, we said, there's something to that. So today, what we want to do is just read our little from Jan's desk and from Don's desk.
How about ladies first?
Okay.
You go ahead.
I'd be happy to. But here's one thing I want to say before I just start reading. Sometimes when you and I have something we want to say in the magazine other than the articles we write, it flows freely and we know exactly what we want to say and we even say it well in advance of publication time. Sometimes that's not the case. And I went to bed at 2:30 at night, the night before we go to press, or the morning, however you want to look at it, and I had not written my From Jan's Desk. I had no clue. I tried to start this article numerous times, nothing came to me. I was blank. I laid down in bed and I thought, I'll go this direction. No, I'll go this direction. Nothing. I get up at 6:30 in the morning. Now, what am I going on? 4 hours sleep. And I'm thinking this is going to be a disaster because I can't think straight. The day was nice. We'd had the windows up the night before. And as I sat down at the computer to think about what I wanted to say, I heard the neighbors getting ready and for their day. And all of a sudden, it came to me, and I wrote this in probably 10 minutes. So I was waiting for that inspiration. I'm glad it came before we went to press. So anyway, here are my thoughts. As I sit here writing early this morning with the windows open and a soft breeze coming in, I can hear the neighbors beginning their day as well. It reminds me how people are more alike than they are different. Generally speaking, we all want similar things, a happy, healthy family with enough financial security to make sure they are well taken care of and with enough time to enjoy being together. How we arrive at that health and happiness may vary, what constitutes financial security from one family versus another, and the career paths we choose to obtain that security may differ, and what we do in our free time for family fun may be seen as anything from normal to unique to weird, but togetherness nonetheless. So where does this leave us? Let me say this again, more alike than different. I've mentioned before that Don and I and the OCG have been dubbed as bridging the gap or blurring the lines between hippie and hipster. Having friends on both sides of that bridge, dabbling in aspects of hippie and hipster ourselves, sharing political points of view from both sides of the aisle, as well as right down the middle and outside the box too, finds us with friends in our personal lives and readership in our professional lives who can and do appreciate those variables. A quote from Thomas Jefferson comes to mind here. He says, "I never considered a difference of opinion in politics, in religion, and in philosophy as a cause for withdrawing from a friend." The Owl Creek Gazette seconds that opinion and practice, Mr. Jefferson. So tonight, as you lay your head down on your pillow, folks, why not let the last thought of the day be about our similarities and the tactful way in which we choose to approach our differences? After all, isn't life too short and too grand to be filled with unpleasantness when pleasantness is within our reach and available by our own design?
That kind of reminds me of Harvey.
Mm-hmm. It does. Harvey the Pooka.
And what Mr. Dowd said.
I've been oh so smart and I've been oh so pleasant. I prefer pleasant.
There you go. Mr. Dowd. Well, anyhow, I'm going to do the same thing you just did and read you from my desk. And I guess this is an ode to, not an ode, but it's in reference to tomato season, which is upon us. Everybody's got tomatoes.
That's right. And then it winds up interestingly, kind of similar to what I was saying in mind. And we write these separately of each other. So your tomato take is very interesting. The whole story goes, but the last line is indicative of what I was saying in many ways.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, those absolutely marvelous first tomatoes of summer, juice running down the sides of my mouth as I slurped a big bite down. Dad always planted a garden, bell peppers, tomatoes, zucchini, squash, string beans, mostly anything that was fail-proof. Young'uns ran the tiller, Dad raked, complained about the tilling, and then planted. Then came Mom with a hoe and garden hose. City of Centralia loved her. Sometimes she'd leave the hose on all day. Tomatoes loved her, too. Those were big suckers, too. Dad had to remind himself that he loved her as well. The summer went on, and so did tomato hornworms and squash bugs. And then out came the seven. Baird's Grocery and Landscape loved Mom, too, for her hatred of bugs. Little did we know back then, except for what we saw on TV and magazine advertisements about garden care. Read the label? Well, not so much. I'm not blaming Mom for anything, but I remember vividly white powder of seven insecticide over every square inch plant and flower of our garden at the first sign of anything with more than two legs. I just did a quick Google for seven and was not shocked by the result too much. Carbyl is a cholinesterase inhibitor and is toxic to humans. It is classified as a likely human carcinogen by the United States Environmental Protection Agency. You see, carbyl is the active ingredient in 7, and as a cholinesterase inhibitor, it interferes with cellular biology, including the human that gets in contact with it. Just stop using this crap. I always thought the best tomato hornworm killer was a good pair of needle-nose pliers. Less squishy than that requires a simple Google search for natural garden insect killer. Put that in quotes. And then when I did it, out came dozens of kitchen recipes that really do work. Here's an example regarding tomatoes. Mix up 1 tablespoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of mild detergent, and 2.5 tablespoons of olive oil in a garden sprayer in a gallon of water. And mix it all up. It makes a great repellent for all kinds of bugs, as well as a fungicide for blight and mildew on the tomato plant leaves. Shake it well before spraying and repeat every week or two just to be effective. And a simple fact is, just like Maya Angelou said, when we know better, we do better.
And that's what I was meaning, where we kind of all come around to the same philosophical thought of mine, even though you got 2 years by way of tomatoes.
I paraphrased a little bit in there, but you can get the drift. I mean, yeah. That's what we talked about this month. So now you don't have to read our column, but pick up the magazine and read the rest of the beautiful content in our magazine.
And we are down here at our studio at Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House. We've got the door open. And so there's been a car that's been honking off and on now for about 10 minutes.
I think it must have a child that's got the keys in the hand.
Maybe so. So if you hear that in the background, we apologize. But the rain is so nice. And
yeah, we're parked out on the interstate. The cars are going by.
No, we're not. Unless we've moved the studio. But anyway, it's a nice day. I just looked out. It was 66 degrees.
Yeah, it's beautiful out, except for the rain.
Well, but some days I need rain. And I mean, obviously, to live, we need rain. What I meant by that was it is emotionally relaxing and calming to me. It's one of those things that you look at and you say, I can't do certain things that I thought I needed to do. And you can just kind of calm yourself down and relax a minute, like I said.
Well, you know, we had this conversation off mic a week. That's okay. We can move that. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about how important rain was to our psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And I was outside working. It was hot and sweaty. And all of a sudden, here come a cloudburst. It's just like there was something happened right over the top of our head. And it just inside of 30 seconds, I was soaked. And I thought, you know, this feels good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to run dash inside. There's no lightning. I'm just going to stay out here and work. So I stayed out and I worked in the driveway and just enjoyed it. And that's, I hadn't done that since I was 7.
I know. And it's funny because we've been watching Jerry Seinfeld and we've got him on, what, Hulu now? And so the whole series, in one of the episodes, he was talking about rain, and he always does a stand-up routine in front of his situation comedy. And so he was talking about, you know, we all love water. We absolutely love water. We carry it in bottles with us. We can't wait to get in the swimming pool. We can't wait to go to the lake. We love to take showers and baths. But if it rains, we run for cover like we're going to melt. And it's true that it's like, oh, no, we're going to get wet. Yep, yeah. So your story reminds me that when Gabe, our youngest son, was little, and he and I had gone shopping someplace, and I was taking him out to the car in the cart with all our stuff that we'd bought. And it started to rain, and the stuff was fine. It was, you know, covered in the bag, so there wasn't anything to worry about there. And I started to run with him in the cart, and then, you know, he was little. I don't know. He made a conscious decision. I think I made it for us. But we just decided to take our time. And we went to the car, and we were soaking wet. It wasn't like you said. There was no lightning, nothing to be afraid of. And we just started to laugh. And he had this great little belly laugh. And we just, that's a moment.
I can hear his belly laugh to this day.
And that's just a moment that I will always cherish. It was just like, be here now kind of thing. There was no problem with getting rained on.
Yeah, there is no problem with getting rained on.
And I can remember as a kid, if like you said, if it wasn't lightning, we'd go out and take our shoes off and play in the puddles. That was, and let it rain on us. So sometimes it's almost a purification. That obviously would make sense. But there's nothing like the smell of rain and then the earthworms that you smell in the dirt afterwards. Gosh, I hadn't thought of that in a long time.
What was that old song that your grandma taught you? Just around the corner eating worms.
Just around the corner eating worms. Big, bad, juicy ones, little bitty, scrawny ones. Just around the corner eating worms. Something every grandmother should teach her granddaughter. So dainty and feminine a song.
It is a dainty feminine, as long as the red wigglers, the Cadillac of worms.
There you go.
That was a WKRP in Cincinnati. Remember that?
I do.
Yeah, well, that's too much TV in my life already.
You know, something else I think about this, and I saw people posting this on Facebook. There was a choir that had been singing, and before they sang, they created the sound of a thunderstorm by being directed to snap their fingers, slap their knees, stomp their feet, and things like that.
Yeah, but you need a lot of people to do that.
Well, and they did it, but they all did it in unison. And I can remember being in a big gymnasium and doing this with a bunch of scouts, and I think we did it with cheerleaders too, but you would have someone stand in front of this whole gym full of people, and on one end you would start and you'd be snapping your fingers, and as whoever was directing this would walk in front of you, you would snap your fingers till everyone in the room was snapping their fingers, and then you go back to the start. People would remain snapping their fingers until they came across with you in front of you, and they would then clap their hands, and then stomp, you do their, what, this, then to your knees, then stomp your feet. And so the whole thunderstorm would come up, and then we would do it in reverse, so the thunderstorm would calm down until the soft rain like we're hearing out now. And that was just wonderful.
Well, that's something that only a group of girls could come up with, I'm sure.
I don't know. Anyway, I know that's probably not the best thing to talk about when you can't hear it. If I can find that, I'll post it so people know what I actually mean by creating a thunderstorm out of thin air.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're sitting here at Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House, and we have a 911 system here in town. And usually whenever it's raining and there's a phone call that comes in and nobody answers it, it's part of the 911 call system. I've seen it happen many times. So before we get off the air, I'm going to look and see if there's a 911 issue here in Greenville.
Like a bad thunderstorm coming?
Like a thunderstorm coming.
And there's the car. The car is honking again outdoors.
Somebody take the kids away from that, keys away from that kid. Anyhow, there's one thing I want to mention as long as we're, you know, not reading the magazine, but there's going to be a ham fest happening August 4th.
And that's in the magazine.
That's in the magazine. Mm-hmm. It's just below Jan's article. The amateur radio operators from all across West Central Illinois and beyond will be converging on Carlinville on the 4th of August for a morning-long ham fest. Now, if you've never been to a ham fest before and don't understand what it is, it's us guys that and gals that have ham licenses get out and swap stuff for money, for sometimes even trade. And the tailgating that goes on where people just pull up and open up what they've got, you know, out of their trunk to show you here's, you know, a box full of tubes. You can get them for $20 or whatever. That's where it happens. That's really my bread and butter for amateur radio stuff. I like building antennas. So I would go to something like that and find wire and coaxial cable and insulators. And
it's where the magic happens.
It is where the magic happens. And then, you know, if you were coming along, you did one time, you came along to a ham fest with the kids and played bingo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a fun thing. And the people that put on the ham fest know that there are families that come, so there's something for everybody in the family to do. And this time you can do it in Carlinville, August 4th, at the Macoupin County Fairgrounds, just off of Route 4 at Carlinville. So that's the gates open at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they'll be there through noon. And then they all pack up and take off and go home and do things that they should be doing, like mowing the grass.
And then our friends at TikTok Energy have something going on, too, in Carlisle that you
right.
might want to.
In Carlisle, our friends TikTok Energy are putting on a energy fair. They want to see how much activity they can get going to spur interest in, of course, solar energy. But TikTok will be in Carlisle. Columbian Club, KC Hall, at 1471 Fairfax, August 8th, they'll have two free 40-minute presentations, Q&As, with a fantastic panel and financial opportunities for solar projects. Their first presentation will be offered at 12 p.m. and the second at 6. So all they need is a copy of your electric bill, and they can show you how to save a bunch of money.
And you have to register before attending. So I think it's more of a presentation than a fair. I don't want to get people the wrong idea that it's a huge event. It's really TikTok going there and saying, this is what we can do for you. This is what – and it's just another thing. This is the benefit of having a copy of the Owl Creek Gazette. We are so diverse in our personal interest, Don, and then in our readership's interest, and then the fact that we covered 12 counties plus, people that are interested in, you know, a ham fest –
would also be interested in solar energy.
And if they wouldn't, they can go to one or the other, whatever works for them. But it's really neat. I'm always pleased when we have so much representation of really things that don't always fit in the same publication necessarily fit in ours together quite nicely.
So write this number down, 217-994-9020. That's 217-994-9020. And you can also go to tiktokenergy.com/contact, and you can register there.
Yes.
They need your RSVP so that they can tell that you're coming. So,
and then on the next page, we have, of course, our butterfly series. This month is about gourds, milkweed, monarchs, and more.
I proofed it. It's okay.
And you even said, we almost put in the title a little monarch sex ed in there.
Well, there's a couple issues in there.
And it's interesting, too, because today is Kathy Kimmy, the Butterfly Lady's birthday. So happy birthday from the Owl Creek Gazette and Creekside with Don and Jan, Kathy.
Even Clem was talking about fresh off the vine and in his article about things that they were growing when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
We have a stroll down memory lane, imagination lane, and everything else with Anne O'Neill Garcia, and it's quite a story that a young girl went through on the streets of some fictitious town named Greenville, Illinois.
Well, and to make this all make sense, Anne was born and raised in Greenville, Illinois. She lives out west now. But, you know, we all hold certain memories of our hometowns dear in our heart. She's creative. Gosh, she's a writer. She's an artist. And we've got to know each other really from Facebook, and her father was a photographer. My dad was a photographer, so we had a lot of the same interests. And we just struck up a conversation. She's now a subscriber to the Owl Creek Gazette. She's written letters to the editor. Now she's written, this is really a chapter from a book that she's writing.
Yeah.
And it is, Greenville is the backdrop, but it is a fictitious,
a fictitious backdrop. There's some artistic license going on.
Exactly. I think she uses it at her jump-off point. So a lot of charming characters. And she that's why we named it A Stroll Down Memory and Imagination Lane. But then she has allowed us to put some pictures of her real life here in Greenville when she was a young girl. So while those don't all blend necessarily with the story, it gives it lends credence to that idea that hometowns still hold true, those days that are significant in all our lives.
Yeah, and it's some beautiful black and white photographs of, you know, the old O'Neill's drugstore and her behind the counter. Oh, my goodness. The photographs actually turned out pretty darn good.
They did.
Yeah. Homegrown talent and artists, musicians, actors, authors, and more are also included alongside tidbits from the Tibbetts House.
And that's an interesting story. Mindy Casto wrote the idea of how books, the book and quilt connection, how she was reading two books and how they inspired her to quilt and vice versa. So it's just a neat blend, and she's woven those, no pun intended, into a really good story.
Yeah. And there's Roxanne Bola's story on transcendentalism. OCG Book Club we're talking about. We're also talking about the 5th Annual OCG Autumn Dinner. That's coming up Saturday, October 13th. So don't forget.
And we've added a new dimension to that dinner where the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday before the dinner, we've got an OWL Project art exhibit. So they're not together in the fact that you don't have to attend both, we would love for everyone to do that. But you can participate as an artist in the OWL Project. All the information about that is in the magazine on page 11. And I just want to read the dinner menu that will follow the cap off of the evening.
There you go.
The first course, lobster and asparagus salad. The main course is corned beef and potatoes served with bread, butter bread and olives. The dessert is, how do I pronounce this, Don?
Blancmange.
I'll go with that. And strawberries. It's kind of like a cream and strawberries. Yep. Drinks, coffee, and tea. Roxanne Bola is the chef again this year, so we're looking forward to that. And tickets go on sale August 1st.
Yeah, well, that's just coming
up. On the
up.
Website.
We've got to get the tickets up on the website.
We do.
We will do that. We have one already. We've sold one ticket already. We had one early bird. We won't identify him publicly.
No, but they just gave us cash right out. They wanted to make sure they were included. We love that.
We've got, you know, our take on tiny home. That's across the center spread, and you will enjoy. There's no doubt about it, you will enjoy from financial foreclosure to financial freedom, and another tiny house story that grew out of necessity and not the trend of the tiny house. That one's from Alaska,
and both of them discuss the importance of living small. How that worked into their lives. As like we said, it was a necessity, but that necessity brought so many rewards with it. So I'm really, those stories are just great.
Yeah.
As far away as Fairbanks, Alaska, by the way.
And you ever wonder about where an idiom comes from?
I do.
Sometimes we do.
Mm-hmm.
That the one idiom we're talking about is that if life deals lemons, you make lemonade. And we know where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
And
you write about a close shave, and I write about Senior Citizens Day and kind of winced when I realized I kind of fit that bill. I keep writing about senior citizens like they're, you know, 20, 30 years older than me, and that's true, but I'm, you know, walking myself right into that category.
You bet. Well, I am too, because I have a birthday this month coming up.
You do, August 10th, and our oldest son, Zach, will have his birthday August 1st.
Yeah.
Big month.
Yes, big month. We talk about the obsessive compulsive pickers disorder, and that which will leave your head spinning. And he's got a collection of
he being Gary Adolph.
He being Gary Adolph has got a collection of 78 and 80 RPM record players.
Yeah, his stories are always fun. They take you right back into the history of things, and then his love for history.
52 Weeks to Self-Reliance, a new hands-on series on coping with disaster in a prepper-esque style.
Yes, prepper-esque.
Prepper-esque.
By Keith Ford.
The Skamaniac's ravings are kind of cool. We never think about what happened with the Japanese Constitution during or after World War II. And one of those things is that they absolutely renounce war.
Well, and I love that Lori is always so good at, she thinks outside the box. She lives outside the box. And that's where we always want our writers to take us. And we want to take ourselves that way. We want to take our readers that way, to just consider something you may not have considered before. And she's great at that. And this is really interesting, renouncing
and
war.
Japan is not the only one that has, you know, taken war at a distasteful place.
Right.
Constitutionally. It's National Secondhand Wardrobe Day in August 25, by the way. And you can also find out who the heck Hoyle is.
That's right.
And there's also Cassie Cordy's brought us some interesting information about the introducing of the evolution of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting topic. You'll enjoy what she's read.
It helps you think outside the box, too. It looks at shame and how we handle it, how it affects us, and how all this range of emotion and vibration. It's really interesting.
Our Reader's Own Words used to be up on page 3 because we liked the stuff going up there. But we had a guy that wrote us a story, and was the first time that he had come across his copy of the Owl Creek Gazette. He's from Gillespie. He saw the magazine, and he was like, I'm home. I love this. I want to read it. And he was compelled to jot down a story. He's trying to be an author in his own right. He's wheelchair-bound along with his wife. You will enjoy the story of zucchini, bikinis, and surprise lilies.
Yeah, that's fun. And the fact that he took the time to tell us that reading our magazine makes him feel like he's home, I mean, doesn't get any better than that.
No, that's where it's at.
That's the goal, yeah.
We don't put out no garbage.
Nope.
Or we try not to anyway. And if we make a mistake in a typo, well,
we own that sucker.
We own it.
We apologize all over ourselves. We own it. We hate it. I think you even said something about that in last month's magazine, huh?
Oh, yeah.
If I make a mistake, I don't sleep for nights, worrying, apologizing. Such is the life of an editor and a publisher.
That's because you take this to heart.
I do.
This is your heart that you're opening up with and putting out there, and I'm darn proud of you.
Well, thank you. You're not so bad yourself.
Well, listen, folks, we've got stuff to do. We've got to get this up, get it to you by 7 o'clock. Oh, you got something to say?
I just want to say, check the magazine online at owlcreekgazette.com. And if you want a hard copy, you can certainly look at, on the back page, we have listed all the places you can find us, over 110 places in 12 counties.
Right here in Southern Illinois.
Right. So you can pick up a hard copy. If you want to subscribe, you can do that too. That information's online. But, you know, a lot of people just enjoy reading online. However suits your fancy is, we aim to please.
It's the best $27 you will ever spend if you want us to mail it to you, too.
I'll go with that. On that note, we'll say goodnight, folks. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week here at the Creek.
Y'all take care now. Bye-bye. Goodnight.